connecting and streaming live from the center of the universe over the Blog Talk Radio Network, out of that ill state in the city of the wind. Whether you need a deeper love, chopping it up in a barbershop, or crossing over a bridge on the soul train, come on in, join the party with your boy, the Blog Talk Radio King, Drew Pillow.
Yeah, you better put your hands together.
Come on, man.
Yeah. That's great. That's bad. Clap it up. That's bad. Over here. That's bad. Okay. All right. The West Side is officially representing the hardest in the opening applause. Thank you very much, West Siders. And thank you, listeners that are tuned in on the Blog Talk Radio stream. And I want to welcome our newest listeners from BlakeRadio.com. BlakeRadio.com in the house. Okay, I'm Drew Pillow, and this is the Drew Pillow Show. Kind of fits, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. A genius that I thought of that. And tonight... enough about me. And also thank everyone that's listening on a mobile device. You know, you can call in. The number is 424-258-9300. 424-258-9300. You can dial that number and you can listen as you walk around. Next week, we'll have a mobile app that you can download to your phone. And you just press a button and you can listen to us live. How cool is that? It's very cool. I know. Thank you very much. Also, now let's get on with our show because we don't have much time. So tonight's topic is, you think I would know, right? If anybody. Oh, it's easy come, easy go. In love, it's easy come, easy go. Or is it? You know, we want to talk about relationships, the pitfalls, the perspectives, the sometimes huge gap in different perspectives from the male point of view and the female mind. Okay, that's a big word for me to say, female and mind in the same sentence, but that's just how I look at things. Since I can't represent males and females all by myself, that means I'm going to have a female on deck tonight. And let's see if I can find someone that is very special. Talented. How about that? There she is. It's Abigail. Hey, Abigail.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Ready to dive into some great conversation this evening. How about you?
I am as well. Let me turn my volume up, and anybody that's having any difficulty hearing anything, I want you to turn your volume up on your hearing aid and your listening device, and I'm going to speak as loud as I can just so that people can hear everything I have to say. So this show, I was trying to, you know, relationships and the challenges, and that is a broad topic. So I was trying to kind of narrow it down a little bit. And what I came up with, and this is just me, is that this show is kind of a relationship SOS and how-to guide all rolled into one. And as I said before, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be speaking with certified good person, Abigail Lynn. I'd like to say that Ms. Lynn has 42 degrees and this, that, and the other, but since I'm not a liar, I won't do that. But what I will do is I'll tell you that sometimes you need to get information from sources that you can relate to. And I mean, seriously, how many of us are in relationships with Dr. Phil or somebody who's professionally trained to intuitively understand you and has, you know, this infinite amount of human characteristics like patience, tolerance, and the understanding and things that Job had, you know. So basically, we're going to talk in terms of the ideals and in terms of the realities that involve normal people, because normal people do normal things. We're not superhumans. So that's maybe that explains why there's so many of these relationship books on the market and so many people are reading them and still failing because they speak in terms of superlatives and ideals, and we aren't always on the best foot. But tonight we're going to talk about some real stuff, and I'm going to Abigail. That seems kind of formal. You mind if I call you Mary? I mean, Abby.
Abby's great.
Okay, Abby. I'll call you Abby. Abby. You supposed to say, huh? Okay, Abby. So when it comes to relationships, are people practicing self-sabotage, or is it just bad luck, or we just don't have good enough credit to find good love? What's the real major roadblock on the yellow brick road of love and bliss?
Well, I mean, again, as you spotlighted, I don't have any degrees or anything. I can only speak on personal experience, and what people have come to me with seems to be a common thing. So for me personally, I think that, you know, it all roots back to self-knowledge and really knowing and understanding who you are, whether you're a man or a woman. Obviously, I can only speak on the woman behalf, but, you know, to really, really have a thorough understanding, an in-depth understanding of who you are on a mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual level. You know, I think when we find that we keep repeating the same pattern and the same mistakes, clearly we're doing something wrong, especially, obviously, when it's ending in failed relationship after failed relationship, that, you know, there's a common denominator there, and I don't think that we can continue to point the finger at the opposite sex and say, it's your fault. I think that after a while, you really have to turn the finger on yourself and say, okay, what am I doing? What's going wrong?
Yeah, yeah. And notice she said, turn the finger on yourself. I know some of you guys got dirty minds, and you might think something when a woman says that, but it's actually, you know what? Oh, man, truth is so universal. I mean, I've heard that, you know, I've heard different people saying the same thing over and over again, is know yourself. When you know who you are, you know, like this is a really big prerequisite to, you know, happiness in and out of relationships. So you kind of, it starts with knowing yourself, loving yourself. Now, that seems like a universal truth, but, I mean, what about this big, generally accepted stereotype that says that men are from Mars and women are from cutie land or wherever you guys are? I mean, are we really hardwired? Are we wired differently? Or can the same truth be applied for men and women?
Well, I mean, as far as those two subjects are concerned, I think that while they kind of go together, you're talking about two different subjects completely. I mean, knowing yourself is a universal, whether you're talking male or female. To know yourself is based in, you know, going deep within and not leaving any corner of yourself unturned, and facing yourself in truth. And when you know yourself on that level, it's virtually impossible to be deceived without, you know, ignoring red flag after red flag from a person that you've allowed into your life. When you're speaking in terms of women and men being wired differently, absolutely. I believe that women, I probably have women out there right now that are going to roll their eyes, but women are absolutely emotionally driven, and I think men tend to be driven more on terms of logic, and they tend not to read into things where women will read into everything. So, you know.
Yeah. So women are crazy. I mean, I knew that. Women are crazy, but
you
we
know,
like that. You know, we
women can act
crazy,
definitely.
Yeah. So women are more, and it's not a pro, you know, to say that one's emotionally rooted and the other's logically rooted. It almost has an undertone of better and worse, which I do not agree. I don't think that way, because I think that it's a very important part of life to be in touch with your emotions. I mean, it kind of lays the groundwork for more richer relationships, more intimate relationships when you have some, you know, because, you know, I know some guys that are just cavemen, you know, and how is their love, you know? That's just
absolutely
my two cents.
I mean, when you say, you know, when I say that women, you know, tend to be emotionally driven and men are logically driven, it doesn't mean that they can't cross into, you know, touch into to either side. We both have those sides within us. I think, you know, that women are capable of keeping their emotion in check as long as they have self-awareness. And that leads back to knowing who you are and being aware of your presence and what's coming out of your mouth and how you're feeling and in relation to, you know, who's in your surroundings. You know, and men do have the capability to open up emotionally. And, you know, it's finding your partner that brings out the most positive attributes within yourself that are already lying and existing. But it's so much easier to tap into those qualities when you know who you are and you're comfortable with who you are and you're not buying into society preconceptions and notions that men, you know, if a man is emotionally available, he's considered weak, or, you know, if a woman tends to operate more by logic, then she, you know, is a
lesbian.
Yeah, a lesbian. Yeah. Great. That's good. No, you know, just breaking beyond those stereotypes and being comfortable in your own skin is what it amounts to.
Well, let's address, you know what, I'm glad that you said everything you said, and I'm glad that you didn't stop halfway. You know, you made a complete and a valid point. And if you had stopped halfway, I think I would have jumped in with something about, you know, the crossing over. You know, I had a cross-dresser joke just waiting, but you kind of killed that whole opportunity. Thank you. We could stay a little more serious.
Fire away.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely. So let's look at a stereotype, you know. And maybe it's not a stereotype. Maybe it's a truth, a truism. Easy come, easy go. They say that that's the case. They say that things that you, when you work for something, you appreciate it more, is just not true in relationships. When relationships are rushed into, they crumble and almost never last. Do you find that that has some truth in it, or is it just a catchy catchphrase? And if it has truth in it, what's the basis of building a good foundation if it's not just rushing on into it?
I definitely, within my personal experience and what I've witnessed through friends and family and things of that nature, I would absolutely agree. It's what I like to call a fast food relationship. We live in a fast food society. Everything is just sped up, whether, you know, you drive through the drive-thru to get food, relationships, everything we see is so fast-paced. So the American style love life has followed suit, and, you know, you see celebrities that are doing the same, and you have younger kids that are following suit as well as adults. I absolutely think that when you build such a fast relationship, you're not really taking the time to get to know that person on a deeper level, building a solid friendship foundation, which might sound like old-fashioned to some people. But I really, like, do you want to jump into something super serious and fast forward with somebody that could potentially annoy the crap out of you? You get down a couple months later and you're living with somebody that you completely despise when it could have been prevented to begin with.
Right, yeah. And, you know, maybe when you said that it's a fast food society, and I agree, and I think a lot of people agree that everything is, this is a microwave society, everything is faster. I think that there's another aspect of it, too, is also we're also in a short-sighted society as well, because you mentioned, you know, the potential that this person, although she's cute or he's cute and they're willing tonight, you know, what about a month down the road. Who thinks about that? Who thinks about that when we can think about right now? So I think society has moved into a short-sightedness. And then when you said, oh, that's old-fashioned, why is old-fashioned is such a negative stigma with that? Like, that's no longer valid. You know, why? You know, I don't know. I think it as the wisdom of the ages. Go ahead.
You know, I think what you're speaking of, first of all, is instant gratification. You know, you want that instant euphoric feeling of love and, you know, and not actual love, the feelings, the side and byproduct of love, which are feelings, because love to me is not, aren't feelings, it's action. Love is something you do. But I think, you know, the saying that it's old school or old fashioned, I think that people almost equate like the courting and, you know, I mean, who uses the term courting anymore? Dating and courting and that process, they equate it even back to like religious beliefs and stuff like that. So I think people automatically, that's where that negative connotation comes from, where people are automatically kind of dismissing it and saying, oh, that's so old fashioned. And again, you see, you know, especially a lot of younger kids, they see these celebrities that are displaying fast behavior, or they're portraying in music videos and in movies that they're sleeping with each other on the first night and all of a sudden they're in love and, you know, they see something that they want, but they don't understand that, you know, what those movies and things of that nature are portraying take time and really investment, so much work, that it's not an instant thing. You can't just snap your fingers and bam, you have, you know, this beautiful, harmonious relationship. It doesn't work like that. I think that there's always going to be an exception to the rule. So I think that there are certain cases where two people come together, you know, they get married super fast and they end up, you always hear that story. Oh, you know, my grandparents, they met and 3 days later they were married and 85 years later, you know, you always hear that. And I think that that is possible, but I don't think that it's an easy road. I think that you're setting yourself up for twice the amount of work, whereas if you had pulled back and really taken the time to, like, enjoy the experience, you know, really pull back and enjoy getting to know somebody and feeling that euphoria and, you know, taking the time to say, oh, my, you know, talk to your friend and be, oh my God, he hasn't called in 3 days. Is he going to call? And having that build up and, you know, just enjoying the experience and not just pushing everything to happen so fast.
So easy come, easy go. Easy come is a setup. It's a setup. You're setting yourself up for a high probability of failure, you know. And just because you can find an exception to the rule doesn't mean that you discovered a new rule. So, hold on. I got to send a shout out to Suzanne Reynolds. She is one of our listeners on the Facebook social networking site. Hey, Suzanne, what up? And let me see. All right. Yeah. And so now the next question is, what's the foundation? What is the foundation? How do we get it really cracking on the right page? We want to, okay, I surrender. I'm doing it bad. I got a 0 and 99 track record of relationships. And, you know, I've tried everything. I've even gone as far as spending all my money as soon as I meet her, you know, shower her with gifts. I mean, you know, I've even gone as far as to, you know, compromise on some of my sexual principles. And I became the freak in the sheets, you know, and still nothing works. So what do I need to do to make it work? What's the deal? You said something in our communication earlier about two major components that are necessary when looking at potential partners, looking and dating potential partners. What are they? Let's talk about it.
Yes, sir. Again, you know, this is all based in my personal experience, and it might not ring true for everybody. This is just what I have found from having been played by people and even playing the game myself. Again, number one, knowing yourself thoroughly on every single level. And then, you know, if you take into account when you're dating somebody and you take accountability and consistency and you look, you know, for the mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional aspects? And is this person being accountable and consistent? And first and foremost, are you? Are you sending out the best representation of yourself? Because you're only going to get back what you put out. It's a give and take. So if you're not being consistent and having accountability there, then you're not going to get it back. That's just how I feel. And that's been my experience.
Okay. I got to admit, I'm shocked. And I do want to acknowledge that we have callers on deck, and we'll be bringing them online in just a moment. I want to say that I'm shocked at your answers of accountability and consistency. Not that I disagree with that, but, you know, seeing as you're a woman and you're talking about the foundations of a successful relationship, I just expected that somewhere in your list of foundational requirements would have been something about good credit and penis size. I just, you know, maybe I talked to the wrong women or something, but this seems to be a new 2012 attitude. It's not old-fashioned, but this is what I hear from a lot of women. But let's talk about the accountability. When you say accountability, to me it means like showing up or being true to your word. Is that what you mean by that, or am I on the wrong page?
Absolutely. You know, for me personally, I'm gonna hold somebody accountable. Obviously, people are human, and you have to allow for, you know, them to be human and make certain errors and stuff. It's not a perfect formula, and, you know, people will be people. But for me personally, if you say, you know, we are going to go here on such and such a day and such a time, and all of a sudden, at the last second, you come up with some crazy reason why you can't. Maybe it might not even be a crazy reason. You know, like the first time, I'm probably going to be like, okay, I'm going to be disappointed. Fine, it's cool. But if I see that there's, you know, it becomes a pattern, I'm definitely going to see that there's a hole there. It's holding people accountable. It's, you know, holding people accountable to the way that you know, if you love yourself enough and you feel like you deserve something enough because you're willing to do the same, then hold the person accountable. If you don't want to be treated a certain way, hold them accountable, even at the stake of, you know, sounding like a bitch. Call them out on it and hold them accountable. Like, if you don't want to deal with that lifelong, then what do you have to lose anyway?
Okay, I got lost. I clicked the button and I heard two of you, and it was scaring me. So accountability, yeah, accountability, and keeping in mind the human factor. See, now it's getting complicated. It was cool when you said, oh, accountable, so you got to keep your word. You know, say what you mean and mean what you say. Oh, but wait, now we have to factor in the variables for human error. And, oh, my God. So how do I know when they're just humanly screwing up and when they're just a screwed up human? You know what I'm saying?
It falls back to knowing yourself. For me, yeah. It falls back to knowing myself, because especially women, and there might be some that disagree with me, and there might be people that say, oh, yeah, you know, that rings true for me. But when you're in tune with yourself, you know, you have certain intuitive capabilities within when you're on point, and we all know when somebody is full of it, you know, and I think women tend to brush that off more than men do. Men have more of like a no BS zone where they know when a woman is full of it and they'll cut her off. And women put up, for me, in my experience as a woman and my friends, we put up with so much more. Like, even though our insides are like, no, it's something's up, something's kind of funky here, we ignore it because, you know, we might enjoy his company, or, you know, if it's to a point where we've already slept with him, then we're emotionally involved at that point. And
imprisoned.
In prison. Great. Yeah. I mean, depending on how you want to look at it, you know, and depending on who you're with, it could be an imprisonment, absolutely. But for me, that's always the fallback, is knowing yourself. Because when you know yourself and you turn inward, you're always going to get the answer that you're looking for. But, of course, we're talking about stable people, not like crazy people that are just out there.
Right, right. And it's, you know, even for normal people or stable people, it's sometimes it's trial and error. It's about experiencing and, you know, becoming, doing the work. You said the inside work and being on point. I call it bumping my head. You know what I mean? I've bumped my head on the brick wall enough times. It's like I kind of develop an allergy to bumping my head on a brick wall. I learned.
Exactly, exactly. You smell enough, S-H-I-T, and you know what it smells like.
Yeah. And then that goes right back to the wisdom of the elders. Because you know what? There's a wise, old-fashioned person who has the benefit of lots of years on the earth that could have told you that in the first place. But you wouldn't listen.
Absolutely.
Because they didn't post it on Facebook, so you won't hear it. All right, so I think we laid out a really firm foundation. I want to touch on credibility, but let's stay on accountability. We are at the almost at the halfway mark. I think in a little bit we'll take a couple callers. But accountability is really important. But how is that affected by the fact that people change? You know, people change over time, and it's natural. On the one hand, people change because when you meet them, you didn't even really meet them. You met the representation. And that, although that it's a neutral word, I'm speaking in terms of the negative aspect of it. You meet the false person, the best foot forward exaggerated person. So in time, you're going to meet the other person. And what about, you know, how does that play into the whole accountability and consistency mode? You got to expect some change, right?
Absolutely. I mean, what you're speaking of totally depends on at what point within dating or relationship you're actually in. I think everybody has that representative, you know, especially women. You know, you're going to have every hair in place, and if you wear makeup, you're going to have your makeup on, and you're always going to wear your best outfit. You know, and then we start to relax a little bit. Men, too, same thing. For me, getting through, if somebody is really about a facade, like they can only keep that up for a certain amount of time. So for me, that's where really taking my time to get involved on that deeper level. Like I've really learned as a woman to like stop diving in fast forward and so hard and falling so hard for somebody that I hardly know. Like I've really learned how to pull it back and just take it easy and enjoy the person, and really just, it's not really like being on the defense, but just being aware and being conscious, you know, that he's a person and you're getting to know this person, and to just not overinvest too fast. Obviously, when you're in a relationship, yes, people change and people grow, but part of that for me with being within that relationship is consistent communication. And, you know, when you're both putting in the self-work combined with working together, hopefully that relationship is growing together and talking together, or you're going to grow apart. And that's where I think a lot of couples get into trouble.
I'm sending you a message right now so you can check that out. Okay, so here's the thing. Turn it into a you know, adding the male's perspective. That word should be nutballs. I'm asking if you're ready for me to let the callers in, because the callers, you know, this is what I like. I like to invite people to call in. This is Drew Pillow, the Drew Pillow Show. It's the Drew Pillow Show. I'm Drew Pillow. And my guest tonight is Abigail Lynn. You can call her Abby, but don't call her Mary. She don't like that. And we're talking about easy come, easy go in the game of love. You know, why you keep losing? Let's start winning, right? So, and we invite callers to dial the number 424-258-9300 and join us, right? Okay. So, here's the thing. The callers, man, you guys, you bring really good, helpful information. But you can never be as smart as me. And you think I'm kidding, right? Well, let's just test this theory out and let's find out. You might be smarter than you might be as smart as my special guest, but you can never be as smart as me. But maybe you are. Prove me wrong. You know, I'm a guy, so, and I'm an alpha, so it's gonna be a tough call. First guy coming out of the hole zone, being in at whatever he weighs, wearing whatever he's wearing. It's Big Charles. Big Charles, how you doing? Charles calling from the Las Vegas, the LV. So, Charles, you're hearing this stuff. We're talking about easy come, easy go. In a relationship, if you meet a girl and you and her just go dive all in immediately, chances are that relationship ain't even going to work, right?
Thank you. What was that again, Drew? Sorry about that.
Oh, that's no problem. You ain't got to listen to me. You know, I don't listen to me. I don't listen to me. And
I'm buying ice cream for the kids, man. Please, man. Don't hurt me, man.
That's the next point I was going to make. When you buy ice cream and you in a relationship, you might as well just give it up because it's not going to work. You cannot bribe your way into happiness, man. Okay, look. If you meet a girl and y'all jump in here first on the first, second, or third date, y'all already looking, you know, talking about buying rings and all that, moving in together, that's a bad sign in a relationship, ain't it?
Yeah, that's all bad, homie. That's all bad. You know what I'm saying? You moving a little bit too fast. I mean, I've been listening the entire time, and I've been loving the points that Abigail's been making. I actually kind of love Abigail. You a dude trapped in a woman's body. Where you been on a lot? All right, well, here's the thing.
Waiting on you to buy some ice cream.
I know, right? But here's the thing. I loved a lot of the things that she said as far as moving slow, slowing down, man. We really are in the microwave age, man. We're in this fast food age where we can just meet today, bang tonight, and be married tomorrow. And it don't really work like that. You know, I personally feel like it should take at least 3 years before I even consider going to purchase a ring. You understand what I'm saying?
At least 6 months till the HIV test results come back. No, I'm just saying that.
That too. That too. That is a very valid thing. And people talk about it, but that's very valid.
So Big Charles, what I really want to ask you, you know, let's talk about the difference in the wiring between men and women. Not that we want to go deep on that, but I want to just test the waters a little bit. Okay. We agree we need to slow it down, right? But if she tossing it up your way, are you going to say no, baby? Because men don't say no. Men don't say no. You would know better but won't do better. I'm not saying you. I'm saying men because that's how we are. We wired like that. We going for it. I'm just speaking for me. What about you?
I'm sorry, dog. I'm going to do it too, man. I'm sorry.
The most honest man on the show right there. Ladies, Big Charles will buy you ice cream and knock it out the box. He don't want to, but he will. Man, Big Charles, hold on. Let me bring Dr. Phil into the mix. First, Abigail, what you think about what Big Charles said? What you think about the fact that we want to do better, but we just, you know, genetically are incapable of it as men?
I mean, that's
go ahead and say it. Women can't resist it either. Go ahead. You can say it.
No, that's not always true. There are some women that, you know, that go down that road, and some get stuck there just like men. But I think it's totally true. Like, I hate to say that, but I think as long as there's a woman, you know, that's standing in front of – I'm not saying it's all men. Let me just put that out there. But I think for the majority – I love you guys, but I think for the majority, as long as it's being – thrown out there and in front of you, you're gonna bite and you're gonna take it. And you might not be looking at that female saying, "Oh, I'd like to, you know, really figure this out and see what the deeper thing is." Because actually, I put a poll on my site and I said, you know, what would you be in a relationship with somebody that slept with you on the first date? And while I didn't have that many answers, I didn't have anybody say yes. So.
Well, put me down for 100 yeses, ladies. I'm single on Thursdays. Put me down for 100 yeses. I'm being silly, of course, because I just I'm wired that way as a guy. But we do have my main man with the master plan. He's going to jump on deck, and he is going to give it to us with a little bit of the old school feel. And speaking of feel, that's his name, Dr. Phil. Phil, what's up?
What's up? What's up? You're probably going to hear a little background noise for about 20 minutes before I get to my destination.
Yeah.
I had to comb my hair so I can look good for radio.
I like
it. I mean, I agree with everything she's saying because everything she's saying fits somebody. But the thing is, I think it's more deep-rooted than that. We start out mimicking what we see at home, and we wind up, you know, going for things that, you know, failing at first because we're going for things that's not really set for us at a young age, and we young, and the energy is there, and you think you're in love, or you might be in love, and you don't know how to really deal with love, so you wind up losing, you know, people along the way. But the thing about that is you need to find out exactly what you're looking for. And then again, what is compatible with you. So, and there's a thing where you have to gain power over these, you know, bad mistakes because you're drawn in the beginning to a certain type of person, and that character might not be good for you.
Yeah.
You know, in defense
of Abigail, you agree with her because she started it off, that she said that the prerequisite is to know yourself. So when you know yourself, then the things that you're saying, they fall into place. And also, what I really want to know from you, because I'm really interested in knowing your view on the easy come, easy go. Is that almost a kiss of death to a relationship? I mean, we're not going to talk about the exception to the rule, because some people hit the lottery, but the average cat ain't going to hit it. So I'm saying, if you get with her on Sunday and you have this whirlwind two-week relationship that leads to marriage and sex on the first night or in the parking lot at Denny's that day you met her, is that almost a guaranteed failure in terms of building something real?
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying about knowing what you're getting with. How can you know what you're getting with if the next day you done hit it? There you is going through the same cycle of making bad choices because you haven't took time to really find out what you're dealing with, and the flesh done took over. And you done just knocked the spiritual out. You done just knocked out everything that you, the same mistakes you were. It said, okay, here it is. Those that don't remember the past is doomed to repeat it. Well, you don't have time to think about the past because you done dove right into it, so you don't know what you got.
Wow, hold on, Abigail. Wait a minute, Abigail. Did you hear what he said? Is he expanding on what you've been saying all along, and I just missed it, or is he bringing in some new factor into the equation that when you go fast, okay, you might know yourself thoroughly, but when you go fast, you don't know them.
When you go fast, you don't know who?
You don't know the other party that you're entering into the relationship with.
I mean, that's, I would agree with that, but I think when you know yourself, I mean, maybe you know yourself and you don't mind going fast. That's a possibility. And yeah, that would absolutely be true. But again, I can only speak on, you know, what I know of myself and where I'm at as a woman. And I know, knowing who I am right now, compared to previous times, there's no way that I would rush into anything with anybody because I've hit my head on that wall so many times that I'm done. I'm good. Like, I've learned. I'm good.
Well, there you go. It's important to learn because who wants to keep hitting their head? But, Abigail, in all fairness to the women that are listening and the men that are unbeknownst to them, mentally challenged, I promise I've heard that statement so many times from people, and they just go and do it again at the next opportunity. So I don't know. Maybe we're going to talk about consistency. We're going to bring that up in another minute. And that's not a dig at you, unless you take it that way. But
absolutely
you are a woman,
not.
You know, women read into things. I want to ask Dr. Phil real quick. Dr. Phil,
yeah.
I appreciate you calling us from the bottom of that well that you're in, and I can almost hear you too. So I really appreciate you. But what I want to ask you is, now listen, you're talking about the flesh, and the flesh is weak, the spirit is strong, or vice versa, whatever. What about, you know better, but if the right one comes and she's throwing it on you, right, serving it to you at the drive-thru, are you going to say no to the flesh? Are you going to say no, or are you going to say, hey, nothing ventured, nothing gained, let's take a chance, life is chances?
I mean, Paul in the Bible says, when I do good, evil is always present.
Yeah.
So it depends on how much power I have at that time, the way I'm at in my life. But at this point right now, I feel like that would not work for me.
There you go.
That would not work for me. I mean, it depends on what you're looking for and your priorities, you know. Will it work or not? I mean, will it happen or not? I think I have power over that at this moment.
Well, that makes sense, because sometimes we in a stronger space and other times we more vulnerable. It depends, stuff going on. But speaking general terms, how about the average guy? What do you think? I know you don't speak.
Yeah.
You think the average guy would take that?
The average guy is natural thinking anyway. So, because they want to hit it anyway. If they're taking time to deal with it, or taking time to even look at it twice, they done already entertained the thought. And I was looking on Facebook, and this young lady was saying, I'm going to make you fall in love with me. And the reason she can do that is because of the way that someone is possibly coming at her thirsty. So
thirsty.
A woman knows what she can do with you.
Ladies, if a man walks up on you with a straw in his hand, take that as a sign that he might be thirsty. I'm checking out Dr. Phil, and the unspoken message that I got, I don't know about you, Abigail, but see, let me know if you agree. The unspoken message was that, guys, if a guy says hello to you, it's got a sexual ending to that thing, pretty much. You know, if we even talking to you, we looking at the sexual finish line. Do you agree with that?
In my experience, I'm going to predominantly, I would have to agree. And I've had so many male friends just level and be honest with me and agree and just say, if a dude is talking to you, he's looking to hit it, like point blank.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't even act like they want to hit it, those are just the ones with sophisticated game, because you're going to be saying,
yeah,
why he wants to hit it?
It's called playing the game. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not dogging down every guy. I'm not saying that all men are dogs. Absolutely not. I'm just saying that based in the majority of, you know, my experiences and, you know, what men have told me, just being honest, yes.
Hell yeah,
absolutely.
Hell yeah. Okay, well, now we are at the 1/4 mark. We got a quarter tank of gas left, y'all. We got miles to go before we sleep. Hey, I kind of like that. Paint a picture with the words. Just close your eyes, relax, and come on, join us. We got a caller in the queue, all lined up, ready to go. Caller from 773-403. I want to bring you on, and I just want to give you the quick 20-second rundown that we're talking about. In the game of love, easy come, easy go. That's the rule, and there's a reason why, and there's a solution to that. So if you don't want to end up like Bob, you need to be the one. Caller, 773-403, what's your name?
Fuck a relationship, I got holes. This is Nate.
Okay, Nate, what's up? This is Nate the Great, y'all. Let me get a sound effect for Nate the Great. Nate the Great, I ain't talked to Nate in a long time. One thing I'm going to tell y'all about Nate the Great, right? Nate is a hilarious guy, but also a very intelligent guy. This guy right here is like an old Confucius wrapped up in a young, taller than me, better looking than me package that I'm not jealous, though. I'm not. Okay, but we don't cuss, Nate. We can't cuss too much. You got your whole cuss quote out the way right there, so go ahead. We talking about easy come, easy go. If you hit it too fast, it ain't going to last. What you think?
You know, to me, it all depends on the person. Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying, get it out the way. So I figure you wait the 90 days that everybody, after they've seen this movie, so-called Holland Math, then you be mad. That's a waste of 3 months. So a grown person going to go ahead and get it out the way. Okay, it's safe, game tight, cool. All right, now I can deal with them. You know what I'm saying? Now let's worry about the other stuff to deal with. You know, you might like that person for whatever. Then you get in the bed with them, you be like, man, what the? You know what I'm saying? You just wasted your time. So it really all depends on the person. All depends on what you want to do with that person. So,
Abigail, what do you think about what Nate just said? Why waste time? Why waste 3 months of courting when you can be using them 3 months, getting a workout on, burning some calories? You're trying to find them out. What's wrong with that?
I don't think there's, if that's how, you know, he's happy living, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If he's not disturbed within by living that way, then that's cool. I don't knock anybody for what works for them. Again, this is the formula that works for me. I personally, you know, it was destroying me to live within that realm of just being, you know, of thinking that way for me.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge, one of the huge differences between men and women. I think for women, it's so much more of an emotional journey to become sexually involved with a man. Once a woman has sex with a man, everything changes on the inside. You know, we begin to approach the man differently, where everything was really like cool and relaxed before, we start overthinking things immediately, especially if you're rushing into it and you really don't know that person and you're questioning, well, what is he thinking? Am I being overbearing now? And I mean, women literally overthink things to death. I'm being completely honest with you, like completely overthinking everything.
You think you gotta tell us? We're men. We know.
Yeah,
one thing about that though. After a man have sex with you, he changed automatically. I don't care who you are, you change. Whether it be for the good or the bad, it's up to that man. But he going to change too. So don't just think it's y'all.
I agree. 100%.
That's a really good point, yeah. Because, you know, like me, and I'm not, you know, the typical guy, but I'm the alpha guy. You know, it's like I almost... It's like the difference between me renting a car and me buying a car. Because when I buy a car, that's my car. That's a real sexist approach. But it took a lot of work to realize that I was like that and to try to change. But that was my typical way of doing things. That was my typical MO.
I mean, to really answer it, from, you know, I've done both sides. You know, I've gone too fast and then kind of went, oh, crap, and then, you know, not had it work out and not really known that person, and it changed, the relationship changed, and he changed from it and I changed from it, and it was a mess. And then, again, I've waited that amount of time, and I'm not going to lie, like, sexual compatibility is huge for me, and any woman that says it's not is lying. I'm sorry. Either that or she's gravely sexually underexperienced.
I ain't sexually attracted to huge people either. I just wanted to throw in that we are down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and I only say that because at the end of that 10 minutes, we're going to go into this is being broadcast for BlakeRadio.com, so this show will be available on our new app that we're launching next week. And for everybody that's listening and those that are on the hold line, the show will continue. We're going to call it the after party. So just hang on, and we're going to open up the lines, and we're really going to get down and dirty, not cussing, though, and in 10 minutes. So just stay with us. It's going to sound like we're ending, but we're not really ending. We're just ending their broadcast. So I'm thinking I got Big Charles back in the queue. Hold on. Let me make sure. Big Charles, is that you? Big Charles?
Yeah, I'm still here, but my phone is going dead, so I'm going to charge it, and I'm coming right back in.
All right, cool. I got you back on hold. That is such a nice guy. He called in to say that his phone is dying, and he's going to call back. Wow, what a guy. So they've been saying a lot of interesting things. You know, men and women both change during sex. And you were saying that, you know, it's damaging. It is damaging. I mean, physically, you guys are the receptors of sometimes extra rigorous sex. So, I mean, even if it's not just damaging you physically, but is there does this really spiritually damage us? having just running through relationship after relationship every 90 days. Let's use the Nate the Great plan. Every 90 days, you know, we spend 90 days with her. At least we've been having sex. Now we off to another one. Does it tax us spiritually to just keep jumping from person to person to person? Abigail?
I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were addressing me.
I'm always undressing you. I mean, addressing you. I'm a man, remember?
Anyways, I think that's such a personal question. I really and truly do. For me, absolutely. I think that, you know, I had done, first of all, I was previously married. And after that, I went through a thing where, you know, I just kind of bounced around. And not saying sexually, but just from dating to dating to, you know, becoming emotionally, you know, involved with somebody and invested and then breaking it off and then going to the next person and not really giving myself the time to adjust and kind of shed that energy. And I think as you keep going and you keep acquiring these new, you know, these new, I'm going to call it relationships, these new emotional connections, and you're not giving yourself that healing time in between, you know, and they've turned sour or destructive or negative, and you're not shedding that energy, I think that it builds. And I think that it absolutely starts to affect, you know, who you are in my personal experience. And I've heard, you know, I've even heard other men say, men, not just women, you know, on both sexes say the same thing, that you just kind of have to, like, slow it down and take the time, and that it does affect them. So it's just my
And you know, you're a really intelligent woman, and I appreciate you being on here enlightening me and the listeners. You are you use phraseology that may not be the norm, things that you hear on TV, like shedding that emotional energy. Okay, who does that? Where do they do that at? A lot of people do that. But here's let me translate that into real people talk. It's like, if you was in, how many times have you dated somebody and they had baggage from some previous jacked up relationships, trust issues, because the last person, you know, maxed out their credit cards and lied and slept with their cousin. So now they uptight with a lot of issues and surrounding the ability to trust again. You know, girls have been abused and having a lot of fear and, you know, inability to connect and trust again, you know. So if you don't heal, you bring baggage with you to the next relationship, you know. And so to me, that's the real talk version of it. But, you know, I'm the real talk king, so what you expect? Let's talk about real quick. We got about 5 minutes. So let's talk about the importance of the accountability and the consistency. Why is that more important than anything else?
I'm not quite in relation to, I'm not understanding
just,
the question.
Just in terms of
why are
healing.
Accountability and consistency important?
Why, you know, when we talked about the solutions, right, to get on the right track, we talked about account, yeah, those two, the AC.
Well, it's just a matter of, I mean, if you know who you are and you know what you want, right? I mean, those two things kind of go hand in hand. You know who you are, you know what you're looking for, you definitely know what you don't want. So when you take accountability and consistency into the equation and you're looking at the person that you're dating and you're kind of putting them under a microscope, we all do it, and you're seeing consistent positive traits, you know, and you hold them accountable to that. Same with negative. If you're seeing consistent negative traits that you're not liking, chances are is that that is an ingrained personality trait or habitual trait that person has carried for a long time. They're not about to shed it.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, it just really helps determine and kind of weed out what exactly I'm looking for. And if you're not meeting the specific personal criteria that I really like in a man, then I'm not going to be mean or anything, but I'm going to say, you know, this is really not working for me. And let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is, but let's call it that in the morning after I spend the night. No, that's just what guys say. That's what guys say. Gosh, I feel trapped in a man's body because sometimes I'm just so instinctive and not very thoughtful. You think that, is that like a, can that come into play in this whole implementing the accountability and consistency pattern? You know, are we constantly fighting against ourselves, what we know is right versus what we want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is determining, you know, what needs versus wants, really. I mean, we obviously all have preferences, but, you know, stick to knowing what you want instead of saying, oh, I can compromise. You know, I mean, there's always compromise, but don't compromise yourself. Don't compromise to a point where you're impeding on who you are and you know you're not going to be happy. You know, don't take a guy in that says, oh, by the way, I like threesomes, and you're not into threesomes and expect him to grow out of that. That's not going to happen. Let's
wow.
be real.
You've been looking through my trash can. You tell me, you're digging my phone. You're digging my phone. Because you know what? The guys, we expect that over time, you're going to grow into it.
Exactly. Oh. So you have two people that are expecting something, unrealistic expectations. Like, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Don't, you know, pretend, especially when you get into, like, your late 20s and early 30s. Like, men and women really get into ingrained personalities and patterns. Chances are they're not going to change.
Yep. And if you're dating somebody younger than that and you're an adult, you're going to change your address. State Penitentiary. So anyway, this is Drew Pillow Radio, the Drew Pillow Show. I'm Drew Pillow, and tonight's special guest was Abigail Lynn. And this, we talked about relationships and easy come, easy go. I think we kind of really, you know, put that one to bed in terms of, is that a myth or is that the truth? Chances are it's the truth. And we gave you a few tips and pointers on how to protect yourself from being trapped in the vicious cycle of doing the same thing and expecting different results. And if you listen to the tape slowly, it all begins with knowing who you are and then taking the time to get to know who you're trying to build a relationship with. But we also offered you some alternatives. If you don't want to live the rigidly good life, you can do the Nate the Great plan, which is, while I'm checking you out, let me check you out. So, hey, you know, if you know, you can't cry victim if you're a volunteer. So if it's good for you, it's good for me. This is it for hour one. And shout out to the Blake Radio Network. And we want to thank them for letting us be a part of. And if you guys are on hold, get ready because I'm about to open up the lines. We're about to chop it up big time. So let me play my little intro music so we can roll up out of here. Yeah, here we go.
And streaming live from the center of the universe over the Blog Talk Radio Network, out of that ill state in the city of the wind. Whether you need a deeper love, chopping it up in a barbershop, or crossing over a bridge on the soul train, come on in, join the party with your boy, the Blog Talk Radio King, Drew.